Coming in on 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
Yeah!
I like being chock full of shit.
That's about it!
Was that recorded?
It's not an episode if you didn't make something up.
And the average for the beer that everybody loves is really high.
I like getting shit on.
All right, welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast about adult beverages. I'm your host, Knox. With me today is Uncle Fester, Big Earn.
You know, I started to like you today. First, you almost nut me this morning, and then this.
Well, when you load up equipment to go out of town, sometimes things like that happen.
Sometimes you get nutted on accident.
I forgot to wear my cup.
Accident, yeah. And also, we got Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I've never accidentally nutted in my life.
Always on purpose. Yeah.
Excellent. We are here in Bismarck on day one of our Bismarck tour at Stoneholm Brewing. And with us, representing Stoneholm, is Ivan. How you doing, Ivan?
Good. How are you doing, guys?
I'm awesome.
Hanging in there.
I feel better than I look. Don't we all?
Thank God for that.
That's a touchy thing. I'm talking about touch me. I feel good. Mostly squishy.
Where's my sounders at here? Hold on a second. I'm going to pull them up.
It's like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah. Wait, that sounded like a horse for some reason.
Frau Ruker.
Yeah.
Farfignugan.
Anywho.
That's the one we were talking
of,
about.
Speaking of.
Just a couple days late.
Yeah,
a couple
Scrinks days late. Be in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Boy, you're really hitting that Midwestern accent there. Holy shit.
Well, I used to live here. I lived here for like 10 years in the 90s. Actually, all of the 90s. Moved out here.
We're so far to the east of this place, you have to change your accent when you come over here?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
You betcha.
Wow. This is a great start, guys.
Sure it is. So let's talk about this brewery. Huh?
Yes. So, Ivan, why don't you tell us about what Stoneholm Brewery is, how did it start, and how you got the start? You know, your average stuff of stories of people want to know about you.
Stoneholm opened about 3 years ago now, when the bank opened, the restaurant brew pub opened here.
And that's First Bank, First National Bank?
Yeah, First International Bank. Okay.
Nice building.
Yeah, it's beautiful here.
And a pool you can't swim in, apparently.
unless you love chemicals.
That's what I've been told. So anyway, they've been in business about 3 years, a little over a year ago, last March, right before the lockdown stuff started, is when I started helping brewing here. Andrew, the brewer I had been working with, moved to California. So now I'm in charge of the brewing, and Mike is the other brewer that couldn't be here today, but we get together and do all the recipes and come up with stuff we want to try that we've brewed small scale at home or have just tried something and want to try, mimic that style. So
you still homebrew?
Not as often as I probably would like to, but yeah.
Brewing time comes into this place now.
Yeah.
This is your part-time job?
Sometimes it's fun to just, you know, a 5 gallon batch, you mess something up, you're not dumping 105 gallons down the drain. It's just 5. It isn't as big a deal. So there's a lot of our recipes that have started either, you know, a 5 gallon test batch or something I did or something Mike has done on a small scale that we want to scale up.
So your homebrew is just practice runs for here?
At this point,
isn't that how it's supposed to be?
I think so. Right? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. Yes. I mean, I think most brewers, unless they've been doing it for like a long freaking time, where they can just easily upscale everything, a good way to test something if it's going to work or not would be to do a small batch. I think more breweries need to do that, honestly. Sometimes they have some beers that are like, why did you release this?
Can't lose money. Oh.
This is great beer. I'm going to make 100 gallons of this.
This kind of sucks.
Millennials will love it.
Yeah. This beer sucks. So let's dump 60 pounds per barrel of fruit in here so we can hide that shit.
Some cereal.
Yeah. And like I was saying, you know, it's just a small 3.5 barrel brew house here. Mm-hmm. So we're not making anything crazy large scale, but just enough to keep everything in-house satisfied.
And you don't do cans, you do only growlers, correct?
Correct, just growler fills.
Okay. You do have a bunch on tap, though, that you make here, so that's it's cool to see a big selection like that.
Yeah, yes, and we try to
variety.
We try to keep a variety going, and like I was talking earlier, you know, we try to keep, you know, one or two malty beers on tap. IPAs are very popular. Some lighter, easier drinking stuff. Just a whole selection of stuff.
A good summer crushable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this place is very food centric as well. It's not just a brewery that has some food. This is like a restaurant that has a brewery in it.
Exactly.
And then you can see the brewery downstairs to that those big glass windows in there too. So recognize the equipment. Looks good, by the way. Nice and clean.
Yeah, that's just a small portion. We mm-hmm. have other stuff outside where we keep all the grain. So it's a lot of moving stuff in and out. But yep. That's our little corner of the world through the glass there.
So how did you get started? You like just picked up a Mr. Brew kit back in the day and went from there? Like,
yeah, one year for Christmas, I got a... It wasn't a Mr. Beer kit, but just a homebrew kit, and didn't know what I was doing and started reading and doing extract batches and just kind of took off from there.
How long ago was this?
10 years ago now.
Nice.
So
what made you start?
Like I said, I got it for a gift and just got into it and started reading. One of the things, you know, after a few batches, switched to all grain brewing. And one of the fun things I think with homebrewing is building the stuff, like not just going to the store and buying everything, but you know, building your own mash tun, making a keg fridge, you know, just your whole style of your system you want to do. Is you can spend as much as you want or as little as you want. It's just how much ingenuity you want to put into it.
Nice. You got to be that home engineer. I got to respect that.
I'd fail miserably.
Yeah, because I'd spend the very least amount because I'm cheap
and I'm dumb.
Hey, yeah. Tag team partners.
And I'm both. So here we go.
Cheap and dumb.
So what was the first batch you brewed here at Stoneholm, here in Bismarck? Because there's also other stores owned by
the same group. The, I think it's like Six Shooters Group. The Stendrums are part of that. And that own the bank. And I can't think of... Angie and Brad Pelton out of Watford City, where they kind of have a group of restaurants and they owned the different breweries. And
so I see when I checked out the website, I think there was 8 total. And there's actually a Stoneholm in Watford City that brews other beers than what you brew here. And then you guys kind of swap some kegs. So you guys.
Actually, all of ours stays in just right in Bismarck.
Oh, okay.
Based off of liquor licensing. I don't know all the different types, but it's basically a brew pub or something licensed, so it's in-house mm-hmm. only. And then everything we get from Watford is through distribution, so.
Okay.
Because they're,
you got like 3 or 4 Watford City.
Yeah, and they're way larger system up there, so. I believe it's the same brew house they have up at Bismarck Brewing, like a 15-barrel system.
Oh, okay.
So.
Excellent. So your first beer that you brewed here was?
It was with the former brewer that left, Andrew, and I'm trying to think. I believe it was Western Skies IPA, just a West Coast style IPA.
What kind of hops did you use? I love asking this question.
Stuff I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
He's moved on.
Yeah. No, I think there was some Amarillo, little Simcoe, just kind of, like I said, more of an old West Coast style.
Gotcha.
So you did. So when you started here, you were doing somebody else's recipes. Have you moved some of your recipes in now?
Yeah, most of the recipes, like I said, when I started, it was with Andrew, and so there's still a couple of his recipes
that just stayed.
Yeah, like the Lit IPA was one of those. Okay. Stoneholm Strong that we sampled earlier.
Ah, we'll be talking about that later, I think.
Yep.
And then yeah, some of them are mine worked through, and then like I said, Mike. That I currently brew with. Some of the, like the white IPA is one of his recipes he's okay. worked on developing. And so we're pretty, you know, whoever we're working with, we're just easygoing.
Just very collaborative.
Yeah. Like if you want to try something, let's try it. Like don't be stuck on doing stuff. But the more popular beers you get, the harder it is. You know, people come in and want, you know, a handful of them all the time. So it takes a little less of the, with our system limiting us to what we can do.
It's a good thing to have them wanting the beer, though, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, is there a beer that you always have to have because of that reason?
Like like the Cinco Mexican lagers usually on tap. The Cream Ale is another one that's usually on tap. We worked through a few of the different IPAs that were on tap today. So, yeah, we try to keep certain ones on tap all the time and work a few of the other popular ones in.
But you have control over the styles and all the brewing?
Yep, we do pretty much everything we want. We run it through Kim, the general manager, kind of give her a keep her up to date on what we're doing, and it's worked out great so far, and we have the beer people want when they want it. So,
well, that's the important thing.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier that because it's the brew pub type atmosphere, you get a higher percentage of females that come here. So your beer selection, I've noticed, there's not a lot of like that, because it's a brew pub, not at the 8% IPAs or higher. You don't have like 4, 5, 10% stouts on. And that's due to the fact that it's kind of like almost a family type atmosphere in here.
Yeah, well, you know, people will want to come out and, you know, have some dinner, 2 or 3 beers. And if they all of a sudden they're drinking 8, 10% beers, they have one and don't feel comfortable. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff is at the lower, you know, 4 to 6%, where it's a little sessionable, mm-hmm. and people can relax and have a few beers. And
that makes perfect sense. And especially in this type of atmosphere. So that, you know, wise decision.
And we've ran, you know, like some of the limited stuff we've done, you know, where they get up there 8-10% and they just take longer to sell.
Understand.
Yeah, so Knox cried a little bit, I think, when he got here and said, no 11% stout.
I want some barrel aged.
Wrong.
Right. You're incorrect.
I was sad. That's a sad trombone. Now, see, so far I've seen from your tap list, you have 11 that are listed, but you also have a 12th one, which we are going to be discussing second. So you have 12 beers on tap that you brewed here.
Yep.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we try to keep a lot of them on tap just to have a lot of local selection. So, yeah, we run a pretty tight schedule on turning stuff over and rolling through them.
Excellent. And you were just talking that a couple days ago, you just brewed a batch of beer. What beer was that?
Yeah, we're just working on a new hazy IPA. Trying to up the ABV a little bit on that one from other ones we sampled. You know, pushing it up a little, about 7% higher on the scale than normal, but
it's still not bad though. For, you know, 7% still a good number.
Yeah, it's just trying to get some other IPAs going. IPAs are popular. Like, yeah. People like to hear a lot of, I don't like IPAs, but they sell a lot.
Tons. You see it everywhere. Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing. I like IPAs.
I like IPAs too. Him, not so much.
But yeah, I'm actually.
He suffers through it.
Actually, I've grown to like them, most of them.
You have grown.
Yeah.
You look tall today.
Thank you. It's the podcast pants.
It is podcast pants, I think.
Like my podcast pants, Ivan.
I noticed those when you walked in. They're pretty fancy.
Fancy's a word.
Fancy.
Well, speaking of fancy, let's get on to this first beer here. This is the Cinco Celebration.
Yeah, I kind of picked this one because I like lagers, A. And
you should put the A in front of your explanations.
I like. No,
if
I'm
you put them
part
after,
Canadian.
That's Canadian. Okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
You just open up the border, you know.
Don't you know?
Yeah. Don't you know? Don't you know? Oh, you really are Midwest right now. Holy shit. All right. So, yeah, this is the Mexican lager, correct?
Correct.
Well, talk us through how you made this one and why you made it.
This is one of the first beers when I started brewing with Andrew that we made. Basically, it was born on ingredients we were trying to figure out how to use. And I'd been making a Mexican lager at home that I really enjoyed and people enjoyed. So,
what makes it a Mexican lager versus a regular lager?
So, one of the things with Mexican lagers, when you start researching the history of them, is a lot of the brewers that originally went to Mexico were German and Austrian. So there's a lot of their lagers based off of their traditions they were used to over there. And then Vienna malt is one of the malts they use a lot in the Mexican lagers.
Okay.
So there's Vienna malt in there, and then some adjuncts like corn. So there's corn in there as well. And just you know, the light, easy drinking beer.
Corn really makes beers like this really sweet. And I really like that.
Yeah.
I like that good flavor.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah. One of the things we always joke about is, you know, some people are craft beer, get all uptight about, you know, if somebody asks for a lime or an orange or anything. And
yeah.
Yeah, I don't like my orange, any orange with my Blue Moon.
But some people do. And it, they're like, well, what do you think about that? And it's like, they're buying the beer. I don't care what they do with it. It's theirs once they order it.
Does pineapple go on pizza?
Okay, of course exactly. It does.
That's ridiculous. But
right.
So, all right, what do you guys get off? First of all, so, the appearance of this beer is...
This is 5.8% alcohol.
Yes, so, yeah, so this is a good lager.
This is a, you know, higher ABV than a lot of lagers.
And it is crystal clear. Little tiny bit of haze, but you don't really notice it.
I think that's just the condensation. But, what? Yeah, all I wrote down for this one, clean, crisp crusher.
Yes.
Because I like alliterations a lot. Likely.
Yeah, it there's not much nose on it, and that's comes with, you know, right. Lagers in
it's
general.
It's a lager. It's supposed to be clean and crisp. It's supposed mm-hmm. to be approachable and drinkable, and this absolutely is, and it's got just enough of that sweetness in there over that grain and corn. And it's, yeah, really well done.
Yeah, four ingredients, hops, malt, water, yeast.
Corn.
Oh, yumminess. Corn is added, yes. Okay.
Forgot Jesus, dude. Focus.
Okay.
So, you know, that's funny, Chris, because that's almost exactly what I have written down. I have clean, crisp, well-carbonated, good maltiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could down a few of these. It's like, and then you mentioned that corn in this is probably also why I like it, because it's sweeter. Almost like that, like a heavier cream ale, a more malty, thick cream ale. It's got some good body to it.
Well, yeah. Didn't PBR or Old Style have that corn in their recipe as well? I don't remember which one of them did.
Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
Let's talk about this beer.
Yes.
I don't think PBR did.
So one thing I noticed about all these beers, and I'll say this right off the top, carbonation on all these are great. I mean, they're crisp, all of them, every single one of them. So well carbonated on all these. Good job, Ivan.
Thanks.
Sometimes that's not always the case, and it's quite unfortunate when it's not. It does have like a little drying tinge at the end of it. Makes you want to drink another drink. So I appreciate that. I do get a lot of that corn sweetness, and I like that.
Yep. I wish it was 67 degrees hotter, and we were outside in the yard throwing bags at each other.
Yeah. Play some cornhole?
No, just throwing bags at each other.
You're saying bean bags, right? Like plastic bags?
Hacky sacks, doesn't matter.
Remember those big bean bags used to sit on back in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, what were they called? Bean bags?
Bean bag chairs. Okay.
Chairs.
Yeah. Jesus.
Oh,
so aggressive.
One? Yep. There it is. All right. So let's talk about this next one, because this next beer kind of ties into that Cinco Celebration Lager, and that is a lime shandy. Why did you do a lime shandy, Ivan?
So the brewers in Bismarck every month do the Crosstown Brew Down, where you take turns picking a style and challenge everybody else to come up with something unique or different.
It's easier than just boxing.
Yeah. never been in a fight, because I'm kind of a wuss. So anyway,
I feel like
I Are the Tiger from Survivor comes on right now.
I've never been in a fight, but I've been beaten up several times.
Oh, fuck. That's unfortunate.
So
sorry, man.
So the second Friday of every month is when this happens. So it just happens to be the day you guys are here.
Woo-hoo.
Where we do the release, and then all the proceeds go to the United Way Backpack for Kids program, or they send food home with kids in backpacks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's a
great program.
Great cause.
Yeah.
Thank you for being part of that.
Yes.
Well, that's one of the big things here is, you know, the owners like, you know, use the beer for good too. Like I was talking, we've done some beers with the local Rotary Club.
Beer, not just for DUIs.
Like an autism group, a breast cancer awareness group. So there's always something we're doing to try to give back. So,
well, that's fantastic. I appreciate that.
So let's talk about this beer. So this is the Cinco Celebration recipe. And then you added in post-fermentation the lime puree or at fermentation.
Yeah, it was still fermenting. We added some lime puree, some little bit of salt, and that was our interpretation of the shandy for the beer for the month. So,
well, I got to tell you, first off, this smells a lot like weed, or so I've been told. I mean, just...
Yeah, it was me that told you.
Really dank nugs on the smell on this, but it...
Yeah, it's got that funky aroma to it.
Yeah, this is the first beer I've actually smelled the salt. It's great. That's why it's so weedy. Marijuana. But the taste is outstanding.
It definitely does not taste like it smells.
No. Very much lime and salt. And it's very, so very fucking told. Good.
I'm smelling and tasting it.
I get that lime coming through clean right at about 3 seconds into it. And then it kind of coats the side of your tongue. But it's not like an overpower citrus like some shandies can be.
It's not sour. You know, like you think a lime would be, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make you pucker, really. It's nice.
It does make it a little bit drier having the lime and salt in there than without it in the single celebration. I get a lot of like dryness at the end of this one. But again, it makes me want to drink more of this shit. So I love it.
That and I'm thirsty.
And see, right about 3 seconds into it, where you pick it up lime, I already got the lime, but I get salt. You know, I get that really good salt flavor on there. I said, this is the first time I was able to pick out salt in a beer, and it tastes fucking great.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming, either the salt or the lime, which is what I appreciate. It's well-balanced.
I know.
I'm
a dumbass.
Put some salt on the rim and put a little tequila in there.
Ooh. I always want tequila in there.
But I wanted that on the first one, too. And probably this next one.
Just is this the stall?
Why not? Give me the tequila. If you got a bottle of tequila in front of you, why not?
Why wouldn't you?
So this is great. Any other notes on tasting notes on this lime shandy? Or rat?
No, I enjoy this. This would be great sitting outside by the pool that you can't swim in.
Well, that's because it's a fountain.
Oh.
But damn it, it looks like a pool.
It's a pool with fountains in it. I think they need to rename it. You know what? That's my mission this weekend.
Rename the not pool.
Giving this overturned. We're going to swim in this thing.
Stone pool.
It might be illegal, but I'm going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, right.
You don't have any bail money, dude. Sorry. All right. And the third one coming up here. Now, this is the Razzle Dazzle Raspberry Lemonade Sour.
That was my finishing move. Ooh. When I used to be a wrestler. right? Give him the old Razzle Dazzle.
So this is a fruited gose. So what makes it a gose, and how did you sour this? Did you kettle sour this, or...
Yeah, pretty much all our sours are just kettle soured using a lactobacillus pitch.
You don't use the old school yogurt thing?
No, I tend to like the flavor of just using the bacteria a little better.
Yeah, it's much a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, a lot of times you can pick out the yogurt flavor, it seems like. So we just pitch it, lower the pH, usually overnight, we're good, and boil it off.
What are you bringing your pH down to?
We usually finish around with this one, like shoot for like 3.3, 3.4.
Okay. I think the lowest one I ever tried was like a 3.2, but that was, for me, that was super, you know, puckery.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like I said, we usually the set time is about 20, 24 hours. It's right where we need it. Boil it off. And we don't put the coriander in like a traditional goza, but we do the salt with it. And
traditional gozas are coriander?
Yeah, that's usually salt and coriander. Salt.
That's the first time I...
Yeah, I knew salt was part of it for being the goza, but...
Yeah, yeah. I think the little spiciness with the coriander, like, not a whole lot, but...
Well...
A lot of the recipes call for it.
Fuck my mouth. Sorry, Mom.
Say fuck too much. All right, so let's get into this one. On the nose, raspberry lemonade, what do you get?
I immediately just wrote, bright and brilliant like a star. It is. It tickles your nose with the raspberry and you know, hints of lemon. And
my grandma's teeth were like stars.
That's weird.
Yeah, they only came out at night. They come out at night.
Gross.
I got an Ernie joke. Yes.
Who writes your stuff?
Wah, 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 wah. Even though I laughed.
Do you know any good writers in town?
He's the editor, so he can totally edit that out. I have written down as looks kind of like the red cherry Kool-Aid.
Yes, it's very red.
Oh yeah,
but with head. Oh yeah,
yeah. With the color in it in this glass, it looks like the Kool-Aid.
Right. Damn it! And you know, I want a black marker.
Now, this smells like when you, like, open up your old school. You already put the one cup of sugar in your 2 cups of water or 2 quarts of water, and you're opening up the Kool-Aid packet, and you kind of smell it before you dump it in there to make your 2 quarts of Kool-Aid. That kind of reminds me of that on the smell. But the taste is a little bit different because the taste is a bit more refined. It's not so powdery, in-your-fucking-face raspberry lemonade, you know?
Yeah, so we do throw a little pink lemonade mix in when we're brewing.
But not a lot, not too much.
Which
is good.
No, and back sweetened a little bit with a little lactose.
Okay.
To kind of balance it out. Really? And then, like I was telling you, with our fruited sours, we try to use frozen fruit. That way it's already, you know, nothing bad growing on it because it's been frozen. And throw that in the fermenter. And
the raspberry is real bright on this. It tastes like you're eating a raspberry because you do get some of that tart, but not overly tartness. And then it just kind of smooths out nice. And you get a little hint of lemon, and then it's back to the raspberry again. I really enjoyed this.
Ernie, how many eyes did you shed on this one?
I have written down, not close your eyes sour. None at all. You get that little bit of that sourness, but it's I don't, I always shut an eye. If you have had something so sour where you go, and then there's just times where you just have to shut one. It's not too bad. Two is like, oh my God. It's like, what are those candies that you love?
Warheads.
Yeah. It's like, oh Jesus. You know, I want to enjoy my beer. I don't want to, like, wince and
I mean,
be
sometimes
in pain.
It's good for a challenge to have a beer like that, and it can be, you know, a good gimmick, but it's a gimmick only.
I enjoy a strong pucker on a sour.
Your ass but, cheeks.
You know, not all the time.
But I'm
know?
Only going to have one of those. I could have a few of these.
Yeah, would you
sure.
let me tell you what I feel?
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's my time on the couch.
You bet you, buddy.
But anyway, that's
time
it.
Is
wow. No, sometimes you like that really strong, that really overpowering pucker. Mm-hmm. I do in a sour. But yeah, it's not something I'm going to drink a ton of. Mm-hmm. But there's a ton of things I enjoy one of.
Yep.
You know? But this is a more approachable version of that thing. And I really enjoyed it. You know, it's nice to have it pull back on that sour a little bit and let some of the fruit notes come through.
I got to say, so far out of these three, you know, well, actually, all the 12 of your beers that you brewed here that we tried earlier, being as how you guys have only been in business for 3 years, remarkable quality, good quality control.
Yeah, hardly any stinkers.
Yeah.
Thanks. that's one of the things, too. You know, we try to, every beer, we try to match the water profile. We use RO water and build all our own water profiles. So we can kind of.
RO water is reverse osmosis water.
Yep. So it's not quite distilled, but pretty close to distilled, where it removes all the minerals and stuff that the city puts in it.
All the bad shit.
Yeah.
And so that chlorine and
the
shit.
The chloramines and everything. So
fluoride!
Take the fluoride out of the water.
Yeah, it seems to work out well to allow us to tailor the water to what we're trying to brew. And
that's pretty cool.
Excellent. Well, hey, let's take an advertising break. We'll hear from our sponsors. Hopefully, Ernie's ad read will be in there somewhere. You're behind on that.
Who knows?
We all beatbox out of here. We'll be right back after this.
Beer box.
Brews, Booze, and Reviews would like to thank our sponsors at Bridgeview Liquors. Head on out to Bridgeview Liquors. They just started doing their events again, their cocktail classes, their whiskey education stuff every Saturday. I'm excited to hit up some of those events, maybe learn something about what I'm talking about. They also have one of the best beer selections in town. Check out their Facebook page every Friday for the new inventory. Also, they have an ever-expanding whiskey selection, which I'm very excited about. I've seen some new things coming through there that I haven't seen previously. So kudos, Bridgeview Liquors. Also, this just in. If you mention Brews, Booze, and Reviews, you get 10% off your purchase. Not just something that we've highlighted, not just on one of your items. It's your entire purchase, 10% off. Just mention the podcast at the time of checkout. So anyway, thanks again, Bridgeview Liquors. Check them out, bridgeviewliquors.com, or head to their Facebook page at Bridgeview Liquors.
Brews, Booze, and Reviews is sponsored in part by FargoUnderground.com, your one-stop online experience dedicated solely for those who work, live, and play in the beautiful and historic district of the Twin Cities of Fargo, North Dakota and Moorhead, Minnesota. One of those ways that FargoUnderground.com is great is their food truck locator. Located when you hover over the food tab, you can click on that tab and it will bring you to a screen that has the full schedule of participating food truck vendors in the FM area, all times subject to change. When you click on the full schedule tab, you can search by date and location on where you can find the food truck in that area. It also features food trucks that are on location the day you are currently checking by default. So stop by FargoUnderground.com and check out their food truck locator today for all your favorite fast food grub. Once again, that's FargoUnderground.com. And we're back from our ad break. Jesus Christ.
Easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. It was terribly difficult. And we are here at Stoneholm Brewing once again with Ivan and Big Earn and Chris and me, Knox.
Me, Knox.
And is that from a...
It sounds like a Netflix show.
Me, Knox.
So
sounds like a bad
during the break, Ivan, you know, you mentioned you have a couple of stories that you wanted to share with our audience about some unfortunate happenings that have happened at when brewing beers here at Stoneholm.
There's always something that comes up, and that's one of the things you just kind of learn to do is adapt. Like one of the common ones that you don't want ever want to happen but wrecks your day and makes it way longer than it needs is the stuck mash stories. Just wrecks everything. So there's a lot of little ones like that every once in a while that happens. I think about the worst thing we had was one day, done brewing for the day on the fermenter, go to take the one tea out and we took the wrong clamp off.
The wrong C-clamp off
and
drained the whole thing.
No, the other guy wound up laying on the floor with his hand against it and was able to hold the pressure back, and we had
put your thumb in it.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, the story with the thumb
in the dike. Yeah.
So we managed to get one of the, you know, the rubber glove things, the fancy ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had one of those. We managed to dip it in the sanitizer because you always got to sanitize.
Yeah.
And get it put over the opening, and it's slowly growing, and managed to get the clamp put back on and the butterfly valve put back on without wasting. I think we were about 15, 20 gallons is all we lost. So
lucky.
Could have been way worse, but we're done and we're both covered from wart and head to toe from this whole excursion. And all you can do is laugh.
Yeah, and wort is very strong in smell.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but it's the stickiness that gets to you because it has all those unfermented sugars in it. The yeast haven't made love to you yet. So.
Yep, haven't able to chew up all that sugar. Yep.
So that's pretty much like the worst thing that, I don't know.
Ernie and I had a rap group called Sticky and Smelly.
Right. I was backup vocals.
We were the worts.
Worts. Oh my God, that's great. All right.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So
let's do this, bad boy.
So this is the Stoneholm Strong Wheat Beer, American Pale Wheat. This is a 4.6% ABV. I'm assuming 20 is the IBUs. Yep, 20 IBUs.
Yeah, there's a little more hop character and yeast character in it than the American wheat. It really kind of sidesteps a couple different styles. This one was first brewed when we were shut down for the pandemic and it was to go only and went to support the food bank or something is what we did with this one. And that was kind of the theme with a lot of shirts and stuff around here with Stoneholm Strong. But
gotcha.
I don't know. It's gone over really well. We've made it a few times since. So.
One thing that I do, I have to say is when I first sipped this, it's like, ooh, fucking Hoegaarden. It tastes very similar to Hoegaarden because it's got that kind of clovey, spicy, I don't know what spices you use in it. I'm sure you'll tell us here in a second, but the spiciness of it was really good and the mouthfeel was good and creamy with that wheat in there.
Yeah, we kind of do, like I said, it kind of sidesteps a couple different styles where we use orange peel, like Belgian wit beers do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little bit of coriander, like Belgian wits do, along with more of American hops. And then the yeast character kind of builds a little bit with it as well. So,
yeah, the first thing I wrote down is it's got that great orange and coriander. I think orange and coriander should only hang out together.
Yeah.
I don't think they should ever spread their wings and
fly solo.
I don't hope they divorce. they're the perfect power couple, orange and coriander. Like, because the nose on this is amazing, and it's orange and coriander with that wheat. It's
and with those two brilliant. Mixed together, it just reminds me of like those clove cigarettes that get that spiciness from the clove.
Yeah,
I mean that's what I love about most about beers like that have those two.
Things. I used to sell those things illegally.
Clove.
I'd buy cigarettes. A bunch, then sell them one by one to the third graders. That's not true.
Jarums.
Jarums. Oh, that's, no. That's the ones. These people were in seventh grade. I was 40. This was last week, though.
But they were reading at 11th grade level.
They were just straight up dum-dums. What,
nothing for that?
How about that one?
Yeah, I guess it's that coriander that I'm thinking is that earthy, almost wet hay-ish kind of aroma. Yeah. With the orange
hay.
I like
this one. I said it's wet hay.
I think this is my favorite of the bunch here today, honestly.
That is your pick.
It is my pick, and I had to.
I do enjoy a good wheat beer now and again, and this one is right up there with good wheat beers.
And right. We do have an episode coming up just about wheat beers.
Yeah.
Excited about that one.
Stay tuned.
Yes. Ernie, any flavor notes?
I get a little bit of semi-dryness right on the top of my tongue at the end. But that flavor, though, holds through that semi-dryness.
So in my first notes, I did put it dries out a bit and bitters more than what I anticipated a wheat beer to do. And so you said you use more American hops, and I'm assuming that's what's causing that.
Yeah. And once again, I don't remember what they are.
That's fine.
On the top of my head.
My recipes are none of your business.
There it is.
No, I just don't remember stuff that like long anymore.
But it does cause, a little more bitterness than what I'm used to in a wheat beer.
But to me, it's not as dry as the Cinco Celebration Lager, though. To me, that's a little bit drier on the end of it, especially with that lime shandy.
But
okay, that's okay. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah, we can agree to.
I'm not going to say fuck you. You're a complete moron.
Right. I wouldn't say screw you.
Knox is often wrong. That's fine.
But at least okay with that.
But at least we own up to him.
You're such a good friend.
We're co-workers.
Yep. There it is. Any other final notes about this Stoneholm Strong Wheat?
It's really drinkable. And that bitterness that happens, you don't get with a lot of wheat beers, which was really interesting. I enjoyed that.
I'm going to be honest with you. Since this one is my favorite, I would give this a 5.25 out of 6 if we were rating beers today. This is a good one. Fucking A. Delicious. Thank you very much, Ivan, for this delicious beer.
Thank you.
Highlight of my day.
You're welcome. Whatever it's supposed to be.
All right. Now moving on to the brown. Now, this is the Bullfighter Brown Ale.
Ooh-wee. This is my favorite of the day. There's a lot that are close. The wheat. Was really close. The razzle dazzle was pretty close too, but I liked this one because I don't know. It's not as hot out today, and so I wanted something that wasn't just an IPA or just a sour, just
Pilsner or a lager.
I was looking for something with a little
bite
heft to it, and this bad son of a bitch. It's lighter in color than I anticipated, so at first I was like,
Is it a brown ale?
It might be a little light than what I wanted, but that's just a facade. It's fucking a lie. It tastes
very good brown ale.
Browner? Is that what
it is? It's only 4.5% ABV, so you can fucking crush
these. It tastes browner than it looks. It's got a bold, malty nose. It's just, you get that malty and roasty and maybe a little chocolate in there.
I was going to say there is a little chocolate in there,
which is fucking terrific.
A little chocolate malt.
Yeah.
Well done. Cause I put down like,
caramel. I know what I'm talking about.
I bet like a little bit of caramel at the end of the aroma. Something like that, I said, other than it's
might be some caramel malt in there too, right? Is there any caramel malt in there too? Just the chocolate.
A little special beef or
special beef.
Caramely.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a really good body, good carbonation, a good solid earthy taste. And yeah. I get it has that slight dry finish, you know, of an ale. And I also wrote down like some sort of hint of like coffee or something in around there.
Some malty roastiness.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, I stock up on this and hope it rains.
Right? Like,
I just want to sit outside in the, well, sit out and look at the rain or, you know, a nice screened porch.
Three season porch.
Watch the rain and hammer these fuckers back. At 4.5%, you know.
Right.
I can.
Yeah. And you're not going to get too fucked up off it.
Which is weird for brown ale. I would almost bring this like tubing with me. It's crisp enough.
It's a little too malty for that for me.
If you're thinking of having something a little different than your whatever Busch Light or Shandy beer or whatever you're slamming as you're going down, if you want something, or maybe after you're done tubing and you get back to where you're camping or whatever and you start that fire and you just want to relax the rest of the day because you had a lot of sun.
And put down 36 beers.
Right.
I'm drinking 36 of them.
Excellent.
You know, it's funny. They sell them in 36 packs.
No, you actually sell
17 crowlers.
You do actually sell these from crowlers. So you can fill your growlers. You can come here. Those are 64 ounce or 30?
Yeah, we just do 64 ounce growlers.
Okay. And you have plenty of them on stock to sell to people, correct?
Yeah, we always have growlers here for the most part.
Excellent.
Sometimes you buy 17 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll see. Excellent. Any other notes on this besides for me? Like I said, I was kind of shocked at how light it was in color. And it wasn't thick and opaque, but that's maybe because I've had some inferior brown ales before. But your malt grain on this is absolutely fantastic. So I cheers you for this one. This is a good brown ale. Thanks.
Whose recipe?
I think that was one of Mike's.
Oh, that son of a bitch. I'd just say you. He's not here. Take credit. He won't listen to us.
He's out camping.
Also, fuck Mike for not listening to us.
Yeah, right?
You too cannot listen to us for $3 a month.
I'll fire up the podcast next time we're brewing.
Excellent.
I'll force him to listen, even if he doesn't want to.
And that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's how you get listeners for a podcast.
Or force them into it.
Force them into it.
All right. Well,
the dial broke. This is all we can listen to. shut it off.
All right. So the last beer today here at Stoneholm is going to be their Two Worlds IPA. Now, this is a 6.7% ABV. 41 IBUs. It's an American IPA. Ivan, tell us about the Two Worlds IPA.
This one was actually born from a homebrew messing around session in the garage.
This is yours?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Fuck Mike. We're finishing with you.
Yeah, there we go. Excellent.
Yeah, we just used a single base malt with this one and dial the pH down lower than you... the recommended ways with it from something I was listening to on a podcast, actually, where the guy was talking about
not this one.
I was gonna say,
yeah.
The guy was talking about, you know, starting at the lower end of the pH scale where you traditionally would with his IPAs and doing it. And so, yeah, we do some just a little dose of early hops and add everything else in a whirlpool at the end and just a little dry hop. So it's got this slight bitterness, not too crazy bitter. Just a clean flavor that's got a little bit of fruitiness and stuff from the hops, but not a whole lot. And
yeah, I literally wrote nice and mellow with some bitterness. You know, it wasn't an overpowering thing. I could try it again, but those were my initial notes.
See, now this would be something that Chef would say, this is like cat pee. Because it's got that kind of certain hop flavor on it.
Right. And like, not bad cat pee, by
right.
the way.
Right. Yeah. No. Like, not quite as harsh as Simcoe cat pee, but.
Yeah.
Or straight ammonia.
Yeah.
Right.
Or my grandma's house.
But, I mean, there's nice floral notes in there.
Yeah, we use.
Seems like there's a lot of lemon in that nose, too.
Yeah, I'm just checking out here what we use. because I don't remember. I have to look it up. But yeah, we use Falconer's Flight in this one, which is a blend of all the sea hops.
Yep. Citra,
Columbus, Cascade. Yep. So yeah, that's what our Whirlpool hops are, and then just a little bit of Columbus and Falconer's Flight in the dry hops. So.
Excellent. Very good. I like it.
Yeah, it's got, you know, like I said,
it's a crispy boy still at 6.7%. It's a crispy boy.
It doesn't get too resiny. It doesn't get too hoppy. It doesn't get too bitter. It just sits in this really nice, like a really good bass player sitting in the pocket.
Yep.
Playing a smooth groove. It's just fucking...
A perfect accompaniment to your meal that you eat here at Stoneholm Brewing.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. So you're doing a smart thing here, Ivan. I really appreciate this beer, and I'm glad we got to talk about this one. Ernie, what do you got for notes on this one, since you're not much of an IPA lover?
No, usually. But I have a bolder taste, and I think this is probably compared to the other ones, the White Lightning and the Lit IPA. It has a bolder taste. Real no bitter aftertaste, though, that I usually do not like about IPAs.
Yeah, it doesn't dry out like
it's not like you threw all 40 tons of fucking hops in the boil right away.
Right.
You know, it's
right. But really it is also out. Kind of malty, and it's got some body to it. It's kind of thick.
Yeah, 1C, 2C, 3Cs?
Probably 1C.
1C?
C and a half.
C and a half. There we go. Hey, speaking of that white IPA, I wanted to ask you about that. I want to take a quick side note off this Two Worlds IPA. Tell us what that white IPA is and how you brewed it. It's called White Lightning. Yeah. It was so pale. It looked like a watered down light beer.
Yeah.
In its color. So how did you achieve that? What did you use for the malt bill?
It's not in this app.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember what we used for the... I think it was a blend of... There's a little wheat mixed in with just our... pale base malt, and then it was kind of combined. We used a different Belgian yeast with it, a dry yeast. I don't remember which strain it was. And Mike's test batch, he'd actually made, I think they call it oleosacrum, where they use like orange peel and sugar, and it's this big long process.
Cool.
But it would have been too impossible to do with the size we were doing, so we just...
And the 3.5 barrel system.
Yeah, we just skipped out and used orange peel. So okay. It turned out really good, though. It still had some of the same notes that did in with it. So
what makes it a white IPA?
A lot of the things with white IPAs is, back to the whole marriaging thing, it's kind of a like a Belgian wit married with an IPA.
Okay.
Kind of a style. It's one of those styles that never really stuck around, kind of like the black IPAs.
We love like a good black IPA.
It seemed like good, a very approachable, you know, right? Like, if you want to get into an IPA, I think you'd start with something like this. Cause
like a white IPA? Yeah.
It was lightly piney and a little bit floral. It just seemed like, like IPA light.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, some of, like, our Sweet Alley Hoop, the tropical IPA that has some coconut in with it is, you know, they're... Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, it's... They're not crazy, insane hop bombs, but we try to meld flavors with hops and something else. Like that one's toasted coconut.
It's nice not to just smash somebody in the face with things sometimes, you know? It's nice to have something approachable that gets you into something different.
You know? Just a light touch, you know? Makes sense?
A little light touch. Yes,
nothing too aggressive.
Little backseat rubbing.
Put a little lotion on there. It's a good touch. Unlike you, people call you Uncle Bad Touch, Chris.
Nobody calls me Uncle Bad Touch anymore. We settled out of court.
All right. So going back to this Two Worlds IPA, I do have to say this is a very, very fucking balanced IPA. And it seems like breweries nowadays just wanted to get more juicy, more hazy, more... Triple IPAs, quadruple IPAs are fucking coming out with now. So they're like 11% or higher, and they're just not sparging at all in their fucking mall bill. Just dump all of it. No water whatsoever. Fuck it.
I sparge in the shower.
Sparge. There's your BBR bingo card.
Twice.
Hit that note.
Twice today.
You sparge twice today. Nice. But
I'm sparging looking at the food over there.
Yeah. We're going to post on our Instagram account and our Facebook the wonderful food here that we're going about to eat, as well as some of their beers. Any other notes on this Two Worlds IPA, guys?
I've said my business, and I meant it.
And I did two.
I did three.
All right. One thing I do got to say is we are crushing on the side today the Capitol Hill Cream Ale. It's a 5.6% cream ale. It is super light in color.
Dude,
like well hydrated pee.
Yeah.
And it's 5.6, super crushable. We recommend that as well.
Yeah, it's when they hand it to you, you're like, oh, well, that doesn't look right. Yeah, and then you taste it and like, well, that tastes right.
It tastes like thicker than a Budweiser, but it looks like it's a fucking Bud Triple Eight or a Platinum have that, or some shit.
Yeah. You okay?
It does have a much heavier mouth feel than what it looks like it's gonna have. Because, you know, when you do get a cream ale, you're looking for something that's a little more substantial in your fucking mouth.
And what makes a cream ale is just the added amount of corn in it.
Corn. Right? There's zero corn in our cream ale.
Okay, so
how
did you call it a cream ale? What makes it a cream ale?
Cream ales are basically, it was the way the American breweries that were set up when all the Germans started moving in weren't set up to do lagers. And the German brewers were moving to America and were setting up the ability to do lagers. So cream ale was their hybrid beer that they came up with to mimic a lager. So just lighter grain bills and neutral yeast and low hop.
So, hey, Ivan, where can people find out more about Stone Home Brewing in Bismarck, North Dakota?
Our Facebook page, just Stone Home Brewing Company on Facebook, and Bismarck is probably the best spot.
Not to brag at all. Humble brag, right?
Well, I'm just saying that's the best place to find it. You put me on the spot here because I don't know what
all
right. The...
You guys on Instagram at all?
What's
the Instagram, bud?
There is a Stone Home Brewing Company on Instagram. It's pretty inactive, so
okay.
We need to work on that part of it.
Twitter?
No Twitter.
No Twitter?
Twitter, by the way. Fuck Twitter.
And you do have a website, right?
Yeah. I think it's just... Like I said, you're putting me on the spot here. I don't know what the website is. Yeah.
Don't worry, I can edit this part out. No big deal.
How could you possibly have thought a podcast to ask about it?
StonehomeBrewPub.com/Bismarck.
There you go.
There we go.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, stranger.
And our that was a random customer.
Right? Even the customer knows. That's how popular Stone Home Brewing is here in Bismarck.
If you know, you know.
No, and then, you know, we try to keep our menu is always up to date on Untappd, so people can check everything out on that.
And you're brewing a new beer once a week, right? So once a week you're going to have a new beer, or is it just when it comes time when a keg empties, you got to...
Just pretty much as soon as they're done and ready to go and we're happy with them, they go in the keg and we make a new one and put it on tap. So,
excellent.
Yeah, we've been going anywhere from like 11 to 14 on tap. So,
excellent. Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Good. That's
quite a few.
Yeah, that's a good variety of beers
for a small brewery.
Even though you don't have a fucking stout. That's 12% ABV.
You just came on the roll day.
I know. I just me being me.
You're
being
lucky
an ABV
you came
whore.
At all, man.
All right. Well, hey, we want to thank Stone Home Brewing and you, Ivan, for having us here. We want you, our listeners, to come check this place out, obviously. They have a great menu selection here. They have entrees, stone baked pizzas, which is why they're probably called Stone Home in the first place.
I've been drinking.
You know, and they got stromboli, sandwiches, pastas, entrees, salads, and soups, appetizers, and stone-baked pizzas on their menu, so come check them out. A pool you can't swim in that's actually a fountain.
It looks very beautiful, though.
It's it's a point of contention for me now.
Now we gotta do it.
It's only 2 feet deep, so it's not like you can do cannonballs.
So I'm just gonna cannonball!
I'm only 2 feet deep.
Oh, yeah?
Girl.
Hold my beer. And with that, we want to thank you, listeners, without whom this podcast couldn't happen. And to you, we say,
may your glasses be full and your spirits high. Cheers!
This has been a Predicate Productions episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews. For more information, head over to brewsboozandreviews.com. Special thanks to our sponsors for supporting our podcast. You too can support our show by supporting them. We have merch for sale that you can purchase from our Shops tab on Facebook. We also have extra content that you can access by going to patreon.com/brewsboozandreviews.